Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Homer Potts Happy Hour. We're back.
We're back.
It always seems like we've been away for ages because, in a way, we have been away for ages because we've done this these in a bit of a funny order, haven't we? And I've turned up feeling, oh, this is lovely, lovely day. England, Joe Root's about to get his 100, which he's now got, and he's now out. And then poor old Stuart's got an absolutely fucked knee, and Loney's moaning about having a bad cold.
I've got a bad knee.
I've been very brave.
I've been very brave too.
Yeah, I know. So if you hear some moaning from Ilona this week, it'll have been nothing to do with quizzes and all to do with her poorly hooter.
Yeah, and how amazing I am to still come and do
this. Yeah, I'm so brave.
I'm very brave.
You are brave. You need a badge. Mm-hmm. You need like a medal.
You probably need... Do you need a holiday? You could probably do with a holiday.
Probably not, but I suspect that the cold is because of all the trips on planes and everything. So I have been travelling an awful lot.
Have you officially become a tax exile?
I've had the best time ever. I have had the best time ever. I had 10 days in Portugal with the family, which was really lovely. And then I flew to Marseille and my friend...
How was there a gap between the two?
About 2 days.
Right,
came home, repacked, and then my friend and her driver picked me up from Marseille airport and we drove to Gourdes. Have you been to Gourdes in Provence, in France?
I've never been to Provence. Was this some bloke holding up a sign saying...
No, it's the driver that was with her for 3 weeks as she travelled through South France and then took us back to...
That's quite handsome.
Is she bonking him?
No.
Oh, right. I just thought I'd ask.
Funny, that's why I asked first question. Clearly asked that as well. Is it a driver with benefits?
Get out of the gutter, for goodness sake. But no, so we went and stayed in a beautiful hotel for a couple of nights. And then he drove us through to Burgundy. We did a night in Burgundy. And then we drove to Paris. And then we had 3 nights at the Ritz in Paris. It was gorgeous.
Is she supplementing you on this?
She's a very nice friend. And I love her dearly.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Right. I love her dearly.
Yeah.
And she's very generous, very kind. And we had a great time. She was at a conference.
In Victorian times, you'd have been referred to as her companion, wouldn't you, I suppose?
Possibly. Yeah. Yeah.
But
I was a drunk companion that danced on tables and had a great time in the club.
Did you dance on tables?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And chairs.
Not in
and
heels. You didn't knacker the woodwork,
I did worry about that at one point because I was wearing a bit of a heel. But we went to amazing restaurants and clubs and then I met famous people that I didn't even know were famous.
Well, they might. How do you know they were famous?
Well, only the next day when I said to somebody.
Did you Google them later?
Yes. And because we were in a club with these rappers. I was there at the next table for me. One was called...
They sound like wankers already. The very word, the word rappers came out. And you think,
excuse me.
Christ almighty. Unless they work at Fortnum and Mason's.
French Montana is one of them. Have you heard of him?
Of course I haven't heard of him.
Well, if you were young, you would have heard of him.
French Montana.
And 2 Chainz. I'd never heard of him.
2 Chainz.
2 Chainz. That sounds like a Chinese restaurant.
No. I
2 Chainz. No, that's racist.
Or somebody who does such enormous turds, he has to flush twice.
I'm not going to tell you stories anymore.
Oh, no, go on.
Don't interrupt. Ooh, I want an interruption-free guarantee.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, I had an amazing time, lived another world, and I loved it. I even had...
Don't get used to it.
Oh, I am. Yeah, I'm going to totally get used to it. I even, when we got to the Ritz, my pillow had my initials on the pillows. Can you believe that?
So can you take it with you, or do they just wait until they get another IW turn up?
It found its way home.
Ian Watkins. He's locked up.
Ian Watkins.
I did check.
Is he the bloke from Steps?
No. Yes, he is. That's him, isn't it? Yeah.
I did check and I was allowed to bring it home.
And did you?
Yeah. Of course. I laid out on the bed everything that I'd nicked from the hotels because the free gifts, the first hotel we went to, there was bags. bags and hats and pyjamas and everything. And so, yeah, I came back with a full case. Yeah,
I suppose it's
everything.
Not free. It comes in the God
exactly.
knows how much and
yeah.
the euros and it costs.
And I did check
there.
With my friend and she said it was fine. So we had a great time. We danced, we sang, we laughed.
You
we had a lovely time.
People. You love yeah. a famous person.
I love a famous person. And then we came back and then Stuart and I and our lovely other halves went to Mallorca for the long weekend.
And now look at me truthfully, because mm-hmm. I can tell if you're lying. Which holiday did you prefer?
Oh, no, you can't do that. They were all great for different reasons.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They were all wonderful. They were, actually, I have had a great time. So,
it was so harsh.
No, good. It was lovely. We had a lovely time.
Now you're stuck here with us doing this.
Yeah, now I'm here doing this, feeling like this.
And now the downside of the end of your foreign foray is, excuse my French here, people, the fucking French traffic air traffic controllers.
Oh, dear.
Stuck on the way out.
Are they on strike?
On the way, yeah, again, because, wow, what an amazing time of year to go on strike again.
Mm. Why do they... They seem to go on strike every single year,
well,
don't they?
The French
they do,
like
yeah,
to strike.
Start
yeah,
of the holidays,
it's like
a, again.
It's like when they're offered a pay rise or whatever. It must be like a rhetorical question. You yeah. feel like, you know, like when you're out in India and you say, look, there's no point in us haggling because you're going to say 100, I'm going to say 30... And we're going to waste 10 minutes and then come to the conclusion yes. 50. So why don't we just say 50? And they say, no, 100. And I think that the air traffic controllers in France must do that every year.
Well, it's the start of every school holiday. So it's just, oh, here we go again. So when we came back, we were, how long were we delayed? It must be nearly 4 or 5 hours
at least.
Total.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they get you.
Oh, but you get your money back.
No, you don't, because well, once oh. they get you on the plane, they don't do it.
That's
so.
True, and it's not the fault yeah. of the airline,
and then
is
it's
it?
Not the fault no. of the airline. So,
and we
sure
sat on
enough,
the plane then.
We then waited for a couple of hours, oh. got on the plane and waited for a couple of hours there. And, of course, when you've got a shit knee,
yeah,
that's not really what you
and
need.
And in the sort of flight where you can't order a much bigger chair.
I should say.
It was very cramped, very uncomfortable. But we did have a lot of fun at the airport because we did hit the bar in quite a big way.
We did. We're all some people were a little bit more tipsy than others when they walked on the plane. Mm-hmm. Not looking at anybody, but she's across from me now.
Were you pissed?
Yeah. I really was.
We were pissed when we got yeah. on the plane. So
and then we played a game at the airport, didn't we? We couldn't
game.
Tell Jackie and AJ about our game.
We played a very, very bad game. It's a very, very immature game. We played between
it
us.
Made us laugh
because we were both a bit pissed, but we won't. Yes, we can't do that. It's going to make us come across very bad people.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, we had a lovely time. So yeah.
No, it was lovely.
And are you checked in for Ibiza now for...
No, I don't think I'm going to be able to make Ibiza,
oh,
unfortunately.
No, it's an absolute disaster.
I know.
What a shit summer it's going to be.
I know.
You can't
at the end of summer,
well, I'm
no.
still working on it, but AJ's kind of...
Foot's
come
down. Foot's coming down.
When you... Because I know you were at work yesterday, because mm-hmm. we were meant to do this yesterday, and you realised you'd booked in at work.
Mm-hmm.
Did they know who you were when you turned up?
Well, no. I keep that kind of a bit separate, yeah.
I mean, really, it's almost... I mean, I'm supposed to be retired, but I think I do more work than you do, and you don't actually class yourself as retired, do you?
No, I don't. I'm not going to talk about work on here.
No, we... Mm. No, it was a very nice weekend, and, yeah, it's been nice to be back, because it has been... V hot.
Well, it's
yeah,
been good.
It's not been very nice, not feeling very well, but it is nice to be back to normal a bit.
Yeah,
yeah, it has been hot. I did something this morning that was really unforgivable. Almost.
No, not into a sock.
No, it was a monogrammed cushion. No, I didn't either.
So disgusting.
I put the wrong bin out.
Do you know what I thought about your bins?
So they just refused to. No. Well, they
luckily,
can't take it. They got the
luckily,
wrong
my neighbour texted me
right.
and said, it's a black bin today, not a blue bin.
Right.
I was quite horrified.
So you put out the recycling bin,
I had
you?
Put it out, so I had to quickly shovel it all around and get it round before it comes. I think we need to probably have a regular session on Home of Pots about bin maintenance. I feel it's such an important subject.
Our bin maintenance is absolutely incredible at home.
Wow, yeah. I'm really loving this.
I could put our bin out, our black bin, I think we could put it out every 2 months. That's how little rubbish we produce.
Oh, yeah, you're quite good. I'm totally...
Are you joking?
No.
What? How come?
Because we don't... We buy hardly any pre-packaged food.
Right.
We don't really get deliveries of things, of like, you know,
what's wrong
items.
With him? Well, we know there's a lot wrong with him, but who is this bloke?
And so pretty well everything that we have can be recycled, so we don't really produce any rubbish.
Rammed.
So the bin liner in the kitchen gets changed about every fortnight.
But it's just you and Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think when you've got teenagers and stuff, more people in the house.
Well, we did have teenagers.
Was it the same then?
We could have probably done it once a month then, maybe.
Wow. Yeah.
This is really rock and rolling. This is rock and rolling. And this
you're the one who said we didn't talk about bin maintenance.
I didn't expect you to venture off to this. So, yeah. So, a regular section that we do, very well, someone told me. Who snuffed it? Who snuffed it since the last podcast?
Well, poor old Diogo.
Awful, wasn't it? Just awful.
I can't stop thinking about that, actually. I can't stop thinking about his poor mother. Well, it's just awful all around, isn't it? So sad.
Somebody said the other day, it's very lucky for his wife, probably, that they got married 12 days ago, because I bet it saved an awful lot of post-death issues. She was just his partner and they weren't married.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure she'd rather he was alive, though. But yeah, it was really sad, wasn't it?
Awful.
Terribly, terribly sad. And they've really sort of come out and, he was most likely speeding.
I should think he probably was, wasn't he? I think the trouble with cars like that is, and he's only young, he wouldn't have been driving more than about 5 years.
No.
Is he thinks, I'll overtake this, I'll just put my foot down, and suddenly the thing's gone from 60 miles an hour to 120 miles an hour in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And they're so difficult to
control. There's just no protection in cars like that, and they just do become sad. So that's, incredibly
very sad.
Very sad,
that is.
Incredibly sad. And this other, the great Norman Tebbit passed away yesterday.
Oh, Norman, yeah.
Stormin' Norman Tebbit.
Yeah, he came to the school that I work at for a dinner once. They had this thing called the Political Society or something. I've served food to quite a few famous people there. And I always get, because I thought, right, fucking Norman Tebbit's coming. I fucking hate Norman Tebbit. I'm going to be, turned up, Norman. Couldn't have been more charming. And I was thinking, oh, blimey. You want to dislike him.
When he died, and Jackie said, I see Norman Tebbit's died, and I said, no, I played cricket with someone who knew him really well, and he said he is a really, really lovely bloke.
He was really nice.
He's a really nice man, and I know he was a massive, but he was another, when you look back at the dates now, he was another one who was really done in by his spitting image puppet. Everyone just remembered
him. He lived 94 his whole life, didn't he? I feel like I just always think of him after the Brighton bombing.
The bombings,
picture of him then.
Yeah, him and his wife. And she was in a wheelchair for the rest of her life, wasn't she? You just remember him as the axe man behind Margaret and all this sort of stuff. In spitting
instructions. Nice, we had Ian Paisley at one of those dinners as well, and I was thinking, oh, this is going to be exciting. Ian Paisley, fill up my wine glass. I thought this is going to be fantastic. Ooh, couldn't have been quieter and more pleasant again. Really nice he was.
So who else died? The actor Michael Madsen.
He was
really
young.
On the
same day as Diogo, didn't
he? Yeah, he was really young, wasn't he?
67,
he was the bloke from Reservoir Dogs.
Who cut the police
cut the ear off and goes, hello, talked into the cut off ear.
Oh, so he couldn't have been that old then.
He was in his 60s.
And the other one that was the guy that was in Nip Tuck,
Julian Lamont, he's on my list. Yeah, he was Dr. Doom, wasn't he, in the first ill-fated Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
he was married to Danny Minogue.
He was married to Danny Minogue.
I used to really like him in Nip Tuck.
He
was a good-looking boy.
He always had very sculptured eyebrows, didn't he?
They were very big. He was very plasticky. He looked like he'd had work at the end.
At the end, he did, but early on, he was gorgeous.
But he was very young as well.
Yeah, 56, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was terribly young.
How did he go? Oh, he must have had cancer or something.
He had cancer,
didn't he? And then an older version, Gerald Harper died.
Oh, did he? Now, Gerald Harper, he was married to somebody quite glamorous and much younger than him.
Yes, he was. And I
do you know who it was?
I know, but I remember seeing the picture because he was Hadley, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he was. I know who it was. It was the girl who was with Peter Serafinowicz, Sarah Alexander.
Oh right, okay.
She was
unattractive.
I will fact check that during the break, but I'm pretty certain.
Yeah, he died. He was very old. He was 94, 95. We've had a few snuffings. and then the other news that I've been sort of following quite recently is the somewhat sad demise of Christian Horner.
Oh yeah,
I'm not showing a lot of people thinking it is that sad. Yeah. I think a lot of people thinking you've had this coming, pal, and now you're getting it in spades.
I wonder what Jerry says about it.
What odds are you going to give me on a divorce in the next 18 months?
I suppose it depends. I mean, she probably didn't marry him for money, although she probably liked the fame. He is a nice-looking bloke.
Very small.
Is he small?
Tiny. Yeah.
Well, she's quite small, so maybe
That's what I said, yeah.
And
small man.
Maybe she now thinks, well, this is good. I won't have to traipse around the world all the time. Because it must get tiring, mustn't it?
Just I don't think so. I
find it reasonably acceptable.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
But I think
I can't stand it.
I think, not because we will come to Greg Wallace in a minute anyway, but a little bit like Greg Wallace, well, not that he's a little bit, otherwise the fact he's small and out of work, is the fact that people have obviously, or the ones it's like is Andy Gray and Richard Keys.
Yeah.
People have been queuing up for this to happen. And the moment it has happened, they've just jumped in. I mean, Sky Sports News actually just described him as the extraordinarily arrogant Christian Horner.
Is that
You're
really?
Thinking, have I heard that right? So I actually rewound it and it said, what are the reasons he's gone? Well, you know, he's just extraordinarily arrogant.
Blimey.
And then the thing about that makes me laugh is, of course, you know, how the people who I think in the know how he's got away with this sexting scandal is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, surely there was proof that he did it.
Well, it's in black and white, so you either have or you haven't. But he's managed to say get out of that. And then, of course, because his racing team doesn't do well for us over a year, so you're off.
Yeah. I'll tell you who didn't manage to get away with that. Jermaine
Pennant. Jermaine Genius.
Jermaine Genius.
Clearly didn't get away with it.
It's all gone horribly wrong, hasn't it, for him? Bloody hell.
Yeah, she's definitely not a happy ex-wife.
No.
So poor old Christian is...
He's gone,
and apparently had no idea it was coming.
He might be very good at his job. You could just imagine him turning up at Sauber or somewhere like that.
Yeah, possibly.
You know.
But you do wonder he's one of those people, or someone, he's just toxic now. And
well,
do they want him back?
Might be that.
Do you want to deal with these people and that sort of stuff? And he's one person who clearly didn't like him, obviously, was the Verstappen family.
Yeah.
They obviously couldn't stand him in the slightest.
Yeah.
So, that was a bit of a shock.
Because I read in the paper today, one of the reasons I think that Red Bull decided to get rid of him, because there are all sorts of overtures about Max Verstappen going to Mercedes.
Yeah.
And maybe they've said to him, if you stay, we'll get rid of Horner.
We sling him, which is, I suspect, what may well have happened, because obviously him and the dad apparently can't stand each other. So, yeah, that was a bit of scandal.
Yeah.
That was a bit...
I read, just talking about F1, you know, and the not the rumour, but the fact that it is, you've got to be rich to be in F1. And the guy who is currently at the top of the...
Lando. Piastri.
Piastri, he went to the school that I work at.
Oh, okay.
So he only left about 3 or 4 years ago because he's only about 20. And I sort of vaguely remember seeing him, but I didn't really know him because I was already semi-retired by then. And he was always away, apparently, driving carts and cars and stuff. But I read this thing online about him, and his dad is an entrepreneur out in Australia. Yeah. And he built this company that I think it's all part of the same industry. And it's like electronic car components for supercars or whatever. I don't know exactly. And that company has now been bought by another massive company who I had heard of, and I can't remember what they were called. And it's got a market capital value of $135 billion.
Okay, that'll pay for petrol.
And his dad, apparently, they reckon that to get Oscar Piastri to where he is now has cost his dad £6.5 million.
Yeah, quite comfortably.
Wow.
So
quite
if
comfortably.
Either of your boys fancy being... F1 drivers, you can probably forget it.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard, you taking them to races, because you won't actually be in the country.
That's true. Yeah, I think, because I'll be travelling so much.
Is that these are the
wouldn't you like to travel around as a Formula One mum?
Yeah.
Like Lando Norris's mum.
Would you really like to do that? I couldn't imagine
it's something a bit
worse.
Different, isn't it? I'll give it a whirl
go with the Formula One circuit.
It
doesn't seem too
You'd
bad.
You'd have to come home for Steelhouse Festival and all that sort of thing.
Well,
see Bruce. Maybe you won't.
Oh, Bruce would be my friend.
Bruce would probably be meeting
him
in the pit lane.
Yeah.
When's speaking of Bruce and changing the subject slightly, when are you going to see Oasis?
After you.
Yeah, I'm going 25th of July.
I thought, you know, because they sold about 1.1 million tickets or something like that. And I thought, well, you never know. There's going to be a certain percentage of these people who cannot possibly go now. I'll look on Twicket, see if any turn up. There wasn't a ticket there. And that, bearing in mind, this was like face value plus 5%. Yeah. There wasn't a ticket for under £3,500 on there.
Oh, shit. Oh, well, I went on.
Because I bought mine pretty late for AJ.
Only the day that I looked. Because I did wonder, because I thought to myself, actually, there are so many people who wanted to go. If, for instance, I bought four tickets for £150, I wouldn't need to put them on Twickets, because I would just say to anybody, anyone want these Oasis tickets, four of them for £600,
and
they'd just bite your hand off for them, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Which site did you get yours on?
Viagogo.
Yeah, I
thought that they were the ones that they weren't going to allow them, were they going to cancel?
Well, it said face value on them. They weren't crazy expensive.
I mean, it's another. I had to sort out all my tickets for the Ashes.
Yeah.
So I've got day one and day two tickets for the first bits of the cricket, and I've got. So I ended up getting them on Viagogo, and then I ended up looking. So I wonder what Oasis tickets are costing now, and they were still expensive, but they weren't anything like the ridiculous amount they were in the early auction days. So yeah, if you wanted to go and see Oasis at Wembley now, you'd definitely get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost you a few hundred, but it's certainly not anywhere in the region of the thousands or whatever.
They all said things like. There were so many categories, silver VIP, gold VIP, platinum this, that and the other. Yeah, nothing under 3,000.
Well, maybe there's been sold through hospitality companies and that's why they're getting around the... Because I'm going to see them on the... Is it the Sunday the 2nd or the 3rd at Wembley?
Right, okay.
So I'm going to see them then. So hopefully...
Set list looks good.
It looks very good. Yeah. And what I have done is I've really, really tried to avoid anything on Instagram or YouTube because I don't want to see it and spoil it for me because they just spot everything now, don't they? You're just like all bits and bobs. And I saw a little bit, one clip of the concert when they played Cigarettes and Alcohol, and I thought, fuck me, that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
People got absolutely ballistic. Yeah. I thought, that looks great. Mm-hmm. So I am looking forward to that.
Hope your knee's going to be all right.
Well, yes. I mean, the box I'm going to be in, hopefully, will...
Are you in a box?
I am in a box, yeah.
Well, you won't be able to go ballistic in that, will you?
I would stand up and just push the other 21 people out of the way.
Here we go.
Yeah.
They're very good, aren't they?
Clapping along.
I do like that Wonderwall one.
Do you know the other people in the box?
No.
Other than
Jackie.
Okay.
So, yeah. But then that's part of the deal we've got to get it.
Are you on a seat? You're not in a box, are you?
I'm not in a box, right. No.
Seat I'm or in standing? A
seat.
In a seat, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I did think about trying to get one for a previous night, and then I thought, no, I mean, he's not quite up to jumping up and down on the grass at Wembley, so I didn't bother.
Yeah.
But no, I'm looking forward to it. It did look great.
Right. So I butted in there and you were saying something. Was it of any interest?
Oh, I was wondering how long we'd done and whether we were going to venture
into... We're going to go for a break. We've done 22 and a half minutes.
Well, that's because we're pros.
Yeah, we need to go for a break. So we're going to go for a break. I'm going to fact check to see who was married to Gerald Palmer.
I wouldn't bother.
No, I am, because I'm thinking, I'm sure it was her, and it annoys me.
Well, that's because, A, I wouldn't
I
bother, and B, you're very, very anal.
By my wife that I state things as fact when I don't actually know if it is a fact or not.
And look up French Montana as well.
French Montana.
How many followers? How many Instagram or followers French Montana has?
Okay, I'll have a look in a moment. So we'll be back in a minute. See you in a mo.
And we're back from outer space.
Yeah.
Can't remember the next line, so I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, and your Wi-Fi, I couldn't get on your Wi-Fi, so I've no idea who Gerald Harper was married to.
No, I think the general public will live without knowing that.
I
suspect most of the general public and people listening think, who the fuck was Gerald Harper in the first place?
Yeah, possibly.
He was Hadley. He's a very attractive gentleman detective.
French Montana has 42.7 million followers.
That's a lot of followers.
Did he actually speak to you?
No, I stood next to him, but we smiled.
You are such a fangirl. And who's...
I didn't know. I wasn't fangirling.
Mr.
Two Chainz,
because you didn't know who he was, I suppose. No. That's fair enough. Mr. Two Chainz. Mm-hmm. How many followers does he have?
Oh, I didn't look at that. They're quite a lot. When I say to the youngsters, have you heard of them? They were one of the girls who was out there. She said, I went to see them at Coachella. So in the world of rapping, I think they're pretty out
where,
there.
Where did you go again?
We went. This is where in a club this? In Paris.
Oh, it's in Paris.
Because it was Paris Fashion Week, with men. So Rihanna was there the night before.
Yeah.
So I just dropped that one in.
Okay.
What have you been watching on telly?
Oh,
I've been watching very little. Come to think of it,
I've been watching because I had a lot of Love Island to catch up on.
Are you still watching that?
Yeah.
It just depresses me. The fact that you watch it.
No, don't be depressed. I'm fine.
I know I shouldn't care, but.
Don't care.
Don't worry about her. She's
fine.
All right.
Yeah.
She looks
really
all right.
I really am fine on it.
Okay. She looks okay.
So I've caught up with that. What else have I been watching?
How far are we towards the end of Love Island?
We're at movie night tonight, so we're getting close.
Oh, what
we've
does
had
that mean?
Customer more. It's when some of them go to another villa and then there's a whole recoupling and all of that. I'm not going to explain it because you don't know what it
but
mean,
no, I'm but talking how long before it finishes.
I think I'd say it's got maybe another week, maybe.
Okay, and this is the villa in Spain.
Yeah.
Not the villa in South Africa. That's Love Island Winter. Mm-hmm. That's the spin-off.
Mm.
Let's.
What else have I been watching?
Did you watch Glastonbury?
No, because I was away. Oh, I would like to catch up with that, though.
I watched it.
Oh, I really enjoyed it this year, actually. There was a lot of stuff I didn't like, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like Charles XCX or whatever he's called.
Yeah.
And Olivia Rodrigo.
I thought she was very good. I thought she was great.
So the guy that was driving...
I can't say she was bad, but it's just
No, I thought she was good. I enjoyed her.
My friend's driver is driving Olivia Rodrigo this
week.
Oh,
really? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
He said she's lovely.
Expensive. Yeah, she does come across as being quite a nice girl.
I thought she was really good.
I'm not the chosen demographic, am I, really? I thought that Alanis Morissette was excellent.
Yeah, I saw a bit of that. Really? And I thought Rob was all right. I thought Rob was pretty good for a bloke of his age.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was pretty good. I have to say, even though I've got a couple of their albums, I think the bloke from the 1975 is an absolute tool.
He got slated, though, didn't he? Apparently he wasn't very good.
Did he? Oh,
I thought they were kind of okay, but he's just such a knob. Yeah, going up, I'm the best of this.
He does act like a superstar, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I suppose he is a superstar, really, isn't he? No matter how annoying and irritating he might be. And I think I haven't got any of their stuff. I couldn't name you a single one of their records, but I know when they've been on it before and I've watched it, I've thought, well... I quite like the fact that that song was a bit funky and the next one was a bit punky. Yeah.
I know because my kids quite like them, and I got the first couple of albums. And I thought, yeah, they're pretty good, but then he's just a bellend.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, Neil Young, just...
I've never really liked Neil Young, and I know I probably am the demographic, but I've always found his voice a bit whiny.
And just so fucking old, and just, no, you need a bit more youth. I know that it's good to get some people, who, obviously, for that generation.
Oh, you forgot about the Beach Boys, the guy who died.
Oh, Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really sad.
Wilson had been a bit peculiar for years.
Well, he had dementia, didn't he?
But he had huge mental problems over the years.
Yeah.
He had...
Probably quite a lot of drugs.
I think there was quite a bit taken over the years. But he was like an extraordinary perfectionist, wasn't he? And I think he just drove him around the bend.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, to actually get, you know, the right sounds. Yeah. You know,
Franz Ferdinand, they were very good at Glastonbury.
Yeah.
Oh, and
really, really very good, yeah.
They said they didn't think the headliners were as good as they should be, but they said they thought the undercard was better than it normally is.
Right,
and
yeah.
I would think that would seem a fair reflection of what it was like. We've got to go one year.
Well, my friend goes, for the last couple of years, he goes as a volunteer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he was saying, you could get your volunteer job. And I was like, well, it
Fuck
would
off.
Depend on what it was.
No chance.
I've tried to get tickets the last couple of years. It's really hard. I would love to
go. You might end up mucking out.
I know. Imagine cleaning the toilets
the
or something. But he said it was fantastic this year. Yeah. He loves it.
I was talking to somebody who was at... Download a couple of years ago when it absolutely poured down with rain, and he said he had like passes to go into the slightly upgraded toilets, not the ones where, and he said there was this sort of row of chemical toilets, and he went at one of them, he said it was piled up above about a foot above
disgusting.
The lip of the toilet.
It's like, anyone who's done a marathon.
He said, so of course he just turned around, thought I need to hold it in. But he said people went in there when this thing was slightly piled up and just dropped a bit more on top. I can't imagine anything I'd rather do.
You're going highbrow here. You're really going highbrow. It's very similar at the start of a marathon. You're like, oh my God, how much do I really need to go? Yeah. And I thought it was quite interesting this year that, of course, they got it out quite quickly that Oasis would not be there.
Yeah.
So don't try and get your asthma drinks if you think Oasis are going to be on it.
I think everyone knew that Pulp were going to turn up, didn't they? That was one of the
worst kept secrets. And they're bits I saw.
I don't think it's on next year, is it?
No, I think they're going to have a year off.
They're having a year off, aren't they?
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who is it. But now, apart from that on television, I've been watching. I watched something which is going to be in our next segment. Awfully interesting. Have a good wee, and then you'll love this one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's very exciting.
Yeah. All right then. Well, we've got that to come.
So, yes.
There's a new series of Mandy coming up on BBC on the iPlayer. Watch that. That's very good. That's comedy. Diane Morgan. They're 15 individual stories. Do you know who Diane Morgan is? She plays Philomena Kunk.
Oh, I wonder what you're going to say then.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Well, you should. I'm going to message you and you should watch it. Yeah, because you've got the first two or three series on iPlayer and they're really good. They're just absurd, but they're very good. Definitely worth watching.
Yes, I found some very good stuff on the iPlayer the other day. I found Icons of Scottish Football out of nowhere. Just like, where did that come from? So, of course, where's Frank McAvaney?
Oh, was he on there?
He was on there. Him, Charlie Nicholas, all the other sort of sounds. Yeah. You're thinking, oh, the days of loving Frank McAvaney as a hopeless teen.
Do you like watching Alistair McAllister's reels online?
Yes, they're very funny.
They are so funny.
They're
aren't
very,
they?
Very funny.
Lonely, try and look interested. Do you ever?
Sorry, no. You lost me. I was looking at the dog. Having a nice snooze in the sunshine.
Do you ever watch Alistair McAllister online? Have you heard of him?
No.
Your husband will like Alistair McAllister.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a Scottish bloke who does. He does spoof commentary for even at the World Cup final in 1966, as if he's there, and he's totally biased towards Scotland, and he absolutely hates the English. And it is very, very
funny. Very, very funny. Oh, yeah, no, he's very good. And the other thing I saw as I was perusing for this, it appears that the FBI have shut down everything to do with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, they're desperately trying to, aren't they?
Yes, I wonder why.
Yeah, I'll be there absolutely without a doubt.
I wonder why.
There's all these photos of him, aren't there?
Yeah, I know. And apparently there's no list. Yeah. There's no blackmail or anything like that.
And that photo you all saw doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist anymore. And it's your government version of, please, there's nothing to see here.
Yeah, I know.
Turn around, nothing to see.
I'm just desperate for all that to come out.
And
it'd be very interesting, not only the world's most powerful and sane man is on it, but it'd be quite interesting to see who else is on it, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, the one who they're almost certain is on it is Bill Gates.
That's
isn't it?
What I saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bill Gates. That's loads of stuff's come out about him, because I think from what I was reading, it looks like the FBI have bungled it a bit.
Sure.
And they haven't got it right. So there is stuff that will come out. And then, of course, you would think, well, if there's nothing to pin anything to and there are no lists and there are no stuff, then why is Ghislaine Maxwell still in prison?
That's very true, yeah.
Probably because she's complete wrong.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just laughable.
I know.
Yeah, that's what sounds like a bit of a shutdown job to me.
Yeah.
I did watch that, actually, one of the things I watched. There's another version of the...
Stop swinging backwards and forwards.
I can't help it.
The sound's going up and down in my ears.
I'm swinging like I'm on a tree. Another thing about Ghislaine Maxwell, and I was thinking, have I seen this before? Well, I might as well have, because it's basically exactly the same as the four other ones I watched and that sort of stuff. So, so that was about the only thing I've done. So, and then not a good week for Greg Wallace.
No.
He's finally been binned off after an inquiry, apparently.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, he's just found out he's autistic. So, that's the sort of thing.
Is that all
that
the excuse he needed?
Yeah, I think
so. Is
that
the why he's not wearing underwear, that comment that he doesn't wear underwear because he's autistic?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. He's
I'm going to use that all those years ago.
Yeah, there's so many people who are now saying they can't quite understand why he was on the TV anyway.
I can never stand him.
No, I don't.
I don't think anyone particularly.
I could put up with him, but I know so many people absolutely couldn't stand him.
Oh, I'd turn him off.
But there must have been a lot of people who did like him, because when he was on Strictly, enough people were voting for him to keep him in for numerous weeks. I can't remember how long
but I think it's fair to say that is end of career.
I think so.
So unless he gets a job at GB News or something.
Yeah, I thought it was quite funny when that barrister said to him, I don't know if she knew him, but she sort of said in the media, Greg, whatever you do, don't say all these women are making it up. From a legal standpoint, that's a very bad idea to say all these women are making it
up. They're all making it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not been a good week for him. And that's all on my list, really. So how are we doing time-wise?
Well, it's too early to say how we're doing time-wise, Stuart. We've got to pad this out.
So are we not doing a quiz yet?
We are going to do a quiz.
Well, we are going to do a quiz,
but we have to discuss the subject before we do a quiz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop just for a minute.
1 minute later.
Not that you'd necessarily have noticed, but we've had a bit of a short break there because me and Stuart both lost our notes completely and couldn't remember what we were talking about. So if Alex is doing his job and earning his money, he might be able to edit that and make it look more professional.
Possible.
But
maybe he won't.
If you're listening to this, then you'll know he didn't, and it's just the way it goes. So I'll tell you what I did last week. I went to Wimbledon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very nice it was. We managed to get tickets through the LTA ballot. We had fantastic seats.
Did
court
you?
Number one, more or less where the TV camera is, which are absolutely the best. Yeah. You know, that's where you want to be sat. So your head isn't going backwards and forwards. You get really good perspective. And we were on court one. And it's quite nice because I've been going to Wimbledon for probably more than 30 years on
Have
and
you?
Off. Not every year, but on and off.
What, through ballot tickets?
Through the ticket ballots, yeah.
How do you get them so often?
Well, because it's only in the last 4 or 5 years that they've done the ballot online. And they're very difficult to get. Literally up until 5 years ago, to go in the ballot, you had to write a letter to Wimbledon with a stamped address envelope.
Did you?
And they would send you the ballot paper. Yeah, it was a mad...
real process.
So I don't think a lot of people couldn't be bothered.
Right.
So we used to do that. And also, both me and Jane have been onto tennis clubs for years and years. Nice. And it's quite... I think it's a really good way of doing it. But proper LTA-affiliated tennis clubs, they get a bunch of tickets
That's
as well
good.
That they can ballot off between the thing. And it depends how many people are in the club. So I think the club she's in at the moment has got, I'm going to say, 300 members, and they probably get maybe 20 sets of tickets. So you've got, you know, like a 1 in 15 chance of getting tickets. And we hadn't got them for the last 2 years, but we managed to get them this year.
I don't despair with Mrs. Simmons terribly often. I did despair the other day when she came home and told me that she'd turned down hospitality for Wimbledon and that I could have gone. And I just looked and just despaired.
Really? Like,
why on earth have you not accepted that invitation?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't really want to talk to
There's
her.
A lot of people, who go to Wimbledon, and certainly the French Open, I think even more, are definitely on hospitality.
And they are so expensive. The hospitality
is really
tickets.
Pricey. Yeah, they're really
you
pricey.
Know why people have gone? Because the bloody stadiums are half empty most of the time.
I mean, we went a few years ago, and I mean, it was a fantastic day.
Mm. It's really good.
I know. I went a couple of years ago, just after COVID. I remember we were watching a game, and they said, "Oh, if anybody's interested, there's tickets available for tomorrow." So I went online. I think people weren't travelling so much because it was just after COVID. So Henry and I went, and we got centre court.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Brilliant. Yeah, this is still a superb tournament. Yeah. And did you buy any drink or food?
No, we didn't buy it. We didn't actually buy a single item. Of
Shock.
Food. We didn't buy a single item.
I'm blown away there.
Did you take a sandwich with you?
Yeah, we took all of that. Normally we would do. We'd normally at least get up and get a Pimm's or a coffee or something like that. But it was so bloody hot, you just couldn't be bothered to get up and queue up. It was just too much.
And what's a punnet of strawberries at Wimbledon this year?
I don't know what a punnet of strawberries is, but I was waiting to fill up my water bottle. That was free.
So are you allowed to take food in? Surprised.
Yeah,
you can,
and a bottle.
You can take a bottle of wine.
Yeah, same at Lord's.
Yeah.
You can take.
I was waiting to queue up, and there was it was next to a little sort of kiosk shop. You've got various size shops. There was kiosk ones as well. And this girl said, I'll have one of those Wimbledon baseball caps, please. And the girl said, oh, certainly, there you go. That'll be £45.
Gosh.
Just go, I'm sorry.
45
quid. It's incredible, isn't it?
I bought AJ a Wimbledon umbrella when we went, and then he took it with him to a football game or something. And he went with hospitality, I think. And then it was raining, so they put everybody's putting their umbrellas in. And then when he came to leave, he said, I had my umbrella. And they said, well, take your pick. Oh. And he's like, no, I want my one. And they said, well, that's gone, but you can have another one.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
So he was fuming. I was fuming.
And that was on hospitality. I'd have demanded the club bought me another Wimbledon umbrella. You can probably get one year round.
So, yeah, I was cross about that, because that umbrella was expensive.
Yeah, I was going to say, that wouldn't be cheap.
Yeah.
We were sat next to some Scots. They didn't live in Scotland. They lived, I can't remember, quite a distance away. And they were really nice, actually. And it would have been like sitting next to you, because as the day went on, they kept disappearing and they came back progressively more pissed.
Sounds like you at the airport.
By the end of it, they were really sozzled.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's nice to know, bad to know, that even it's not just football, where basically people's need for drink it just outweighs any joy of wanting to actually watch any good sport.
I find that a bit strange, though. Sometimes you go to the football matches and absolutely paralytic, and you just think,
I don't know. Right, so we've done this, but it's how quickly they leave the ground before half time and stay long after half time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as we're going on today, it's the Lord's Test match, and you know, I've been going since I was a little boy, but obviously can't go this year because of my knee. And the amount of people who really don't watch an awful lot of cricket it's just the most sociable day.
Yeah.
But there are certain people, I've done it before, I say, you know, I'm more than happy to stay a bit after lunch and have a drink with friends and catch up with people. But if there are certain people who are batting, it's like, no.
Yeah.
Certain people. I remember a few years ago when, like, Australia playing, and I was like, no, I want to go and watch Michael Clarke. And they all got really arsey. I was like, no, I can see you anytime. This is probably his last test match at Lords. I want to watch this bloke bat. Yeah. And everyone go, oh, what killjoy you are. And I was like, no, I've paid a fortune for these tickets.
Last week, I was also at the cricket. I went to Edgbaston with some friends. And I do like to actually watch the cricket up there. And the weather was just perfect, really. So I was there, a couple of beers. Don't drink anywhere near as much as I used to at cricket anymore.
No.
Well, not a conscious thing, but I don't have that feeling, oh, I need another beer now. I also, again, can't be bothered to get up and queue
up. It's keeping getting up and queuing up. It's your turn, isn't it?
Every time I went out to get one beer, and then I went out, you know, for a wee. And every time you go out, there are just people everywhere. And not just queuing up, but just out there, just drinking and chatting and not watching the cricket at all.
I mean, my dad used to go to the cricket with AJ and he'd take the hamper, and they'd get absolutely paralytic. We'd have a bottle of red wine.
No, it's a very sociable day. It's a great day. And you just, there's more people, you know, out on the lawns, and to get there early and put your basket down and this sort of stuff. I mean, it's terribly, those sort of events are terribly, you know, showing that it's still a bit of a class bias in the country, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite rowdy up at Edgbaston.
Yes.
I'll tell you a story, actually, when we were there. We stayed in this hotel right in the city centre, just in a Premier Inn. We drove around for 40 minutes, Birmingham city centre, trying to A, spot the Premier Inn, and B, trying to find a place to park. And we finally managed to do that. We left far too early, so that wasn't stressful. Came out, and my brother-in-law phoned up, and he said, right, well, me and his mate, he said, we're making our way down the ground. We might as well see you down to the ground. So I said, okay. And he said to me, there's shuttle buses round by New Street Station, or you can get a taxi. And we thought, oh, we'll get a taxi. Anyway, we looked up and we saw a tram, and it said on the front, Edgbaston Village. And we thought, oh, well, that's all right. We might as well just get on the tram. Anyway, we missed that tram, but there was another one due in about 8 minutes. So we waited for this tram. Tram came along, Edgbaston Village. We got on these trams up there. They have conductors.
I know what's coming in.
So we said to this conductor, So we take it, Edgbaston Village is quite near Edgbaston. He said, oh, yeah. He said, but he said, five ways, which is the stop before, that's even nearer. So you're better off at getting off at five. So we get on this tram. It took the whole journey for this bloke to manage to produce tickets out of his machine. Then we got off at five ways and started walking. And we carried on walking and we carried on. And it took us 40 minutes to walk there. And when we got there, we looked on Google Maps, And from where he told us to get off the tram was 2 miles from the ground. And from where we got on the tram was 1.5 miles from the ground.
No.
So we actually went 0.5 mile further away from the ground. But why didn't the bloke say, well, actually, you're closer here, you might as well just walk from here? Why would he tell us to get on his tram?
He probably thought,
ha, ha, ha.
Sick
it out of him, and we got the shuttle bus back.
Yeah. It's a good place, Birmingham.
It was really good. We had an exceptional curry that evening.
Yeah.
Exceptional. Bit too hot. We were the only non-Asian people in that curry house. It was a massive
sign.
Curry house. Yeah. That's what we all said. We said, everyone always says that's a good sign. But yeah, we were, actually. But it was, I think it was too much for all of us. Too many, too big portions, too much. You couldn't get a lamb korma in there, though, Stuart. You wouldn't have liked it.
Not a good curry house, then.
It didn't
exist. Can
we
let that butterfly out?
It was full of... Did you say, can you get it out?
Can we let the butterfly out?
You've been full of double entendres today. You're double entendre heaven today. we're for-nerring all over this today.
So that was very nice. So I don't know where we are next year. I think we're thinking it's probably back to Headingley.
Well, there's just not many test matches north of Watford now, are they?
I know.
All very London-centric.
Yeah. So have you got, say, a quiz or something for us?
I certainly have.
See, I had a quiz just in case.
It's a boomer.
Loney promised you'd have a quiz in case we need it.
But I didn't.
Oh, you didn't do it.
For the Real Housewives of East Grinstead, but she hasn't got one.
I haven't.
So she hasn't done that. So we are going to go for a proper break this time, and then we'll be back, and it's Stuart's quiz time.
We're back for the main part of the podcast. And the main part of the podcast is all about Saturday the 13th of July 1985.
Oh, I remember what happened then. Do you?
I do remember.
Yes, I remember
it's
exactly 40 where
years.
I was.
I can't believe it's 40 years.
I did a
40
charity years. Curry on that day.
So, well, you're going to have to tell us that.
40
that's
people
what we
watched
had.
It.
40 years since Live Aid. So the first one, so how old would we have been 40 years ago?
I was 22.
I was 18.
So I must have been...
9.
It's not difficult, Loney.
Basically, you've got to say...
I'm not saying what my age is. That's why I'm not, I'm
oh,
not
okay.
doing it.
You're younger than me.
Yeah, I'm younger than
little
you.
Bit younger
Hugh
than me.
Is younger
I mean,
than little, you.
He's just said how old he is and said you were at college together. So
I was 15.
Not that difficult to work out. Yeah,
so, yeah. So I was at college.
My
I was
brother
at college.
Was at Live Aid.
Yeah, I was at college.
Didn't get tickets.
My brother went, yeah.
I wonder, you'd have actually queued up at Wembley then.
You had to queue up in those days. There's been a 3-part documentary on the iPlayer about the start of it from Band-Aid going through to Live Aid and then the second Live Aid that I didn't really have that much interest in. And so, yeah, so I just... So what... Did you watch the whole event?
I remember watching it on the telly, yeah.
Did you watch the whole event
finish? I did, yeah. The telly was on it because I did a charity curry down at my local scout hall for
yeah.
them, and we had about 40 people who all watched it together.
Who watched it together. I had to play cricket, amazingly. I suppose it was getting to the stage where I had to move from where I was, and the people who organised it, they said, you're going to these one or two clubs. You're going to play at Horsham or you're going to go and play at Tunbridge Wells. You're not staying here anymore. You're too good to play. So they'd arranged for us to play Tunbridge Wells. And then when I heard what was on, I didn't really know much. I was like, no, fuck off, I want to watch Live Aid.
Yeah.
I play every week. I play Saturday, Sunday. I want to watch Live Aid. You can't. We've organised this game specially, selling. We've got this kid you want to have a look at. You want this sort of stuff. So I ended up having to play this game. And I think I bowled it right, didn't get many rounds. And and then the moment we finished, we went off to a party. I went to a party with your husband.
Did you?
We did. We went to Andrew Pugh's, whatever it was, at the Rofan house. Huh. So we got very, very drunk and watched the American leg there.
I remember the helicopter and then the American bit coming on. And yeah.
And I watched it up till, I watched it up till the Star Council.
Right.
And of course, you know, being a big Paul Weller fan, I was just watching it thinking, every song going past thinking, I know you're an artist, I know you've got your so-called integrity, just fucking play a banger.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, You're the Best Thing's a good song. It's a really good song.
Yeah. Yeah.
But play Going Underground or Town Called Malice. Just, you've got, you know, 70,000 people in the stadium. Play a national banger. No.
I know. A few did. I saw, you know, there's been a documentary on the TV over the last couple of days. And Gary Kemp is quite a big part of this documentary. Yeah. And he said, we went on, he said, we started with True. Thought we better lift up the tempo a bit. Did Only When You Leave, brilliant song. Just been, you know, in the charts. He said, and then we were so arrogant, we played our new song after that that nobody knew.
They were one of the only two people, that's in the quiz. That's one of the two people.
Oh, but,
so yeah, so that was...
Remember that. What documentary was it?
It's called...
There's quite a few on at the moment.
I can't remember what it's called.
There's quite a few. Mm. One person is worse than them on that front. But yeah, no, it was an amazing thing. Did you do any of those big concerts? Those big charity concerts? Did you go to any others? I went to one of the Mandela Days at Wembley.
Oh, did you?
No, I went
to the... I can't remember the first one, because I wanted to go and see Simple Minds.
Right.
So I went to... There was two, wasn't there? And I went to one of them. But no, I've never been
to a big stadium one. I went to one at Wembley Arena, which was an AIDS awareness thing. And that was, you know, in the 80s when it was very big. And
I went to...
They had also lots of... Basically, gay performance.
Yes.
Jimmy Somerville was very good.
Yes. Oh, I like him.
He was very good, yeah.
He
finished his song, You Are My World. And then he goes, oh, thank you very much. That was You Are My World. And this song's called Don't Leave Me This Way. He had this right proper Glaswegian accent. And then, oh. I was really surprised at the voice it came out with.
But it was. So basically, I've done a quiz.
Okay.
Oh, well.
I've done a quiz.
On Live Aid.
On Live Aid. So get your pens and papers. General public, pens and papers time.
Okay.
We have got 20 questions.
20? Blimey, you're right.
On this thing of Live Aid.
Mm-hmm.
So, who is the only person to get one song and promote their new single whilst they did it? And then it wasn't Spandau Ballet, because they did others. This person was mentioning, and they kept saying to him, no, we need you to play your hits. Yeah. And he said, this is my new single. So I think they took him off. They said, no, fuck you, you can get off. Because they were running out of time anyway. One. So who was on very early at Wembley?
Did he get to do his new song? Did they just?
That's what he did. He just did his one new single, and then they binned him off. Which Radio 1 DJ did the opening announcements before the band came on?
Yeah. Wasn't Jimmy Savile, was it?
No, it wasn't. But I expect he probably tried to get tickets, sit with Lady Diana, I suspect. Who was George Michael referring to when he said, just for one day, could you not be a complete prick?
Did he say that at Live Aid?
Live Aid. Might have said it at Band Aid, but it's about the same person, so it's the same answer. But it was in this documentary.
Stuart, just you need to bring your writing round here so you actually do these questions into the microphone.
Mark can read it.
I don't know who he didn't like. Who didn't he like?
Probably loads of people. There's one person who's very rude about lots of people a lot of the time.
Right, okay.
Who refused to play after telling Bob Geldof, I'm not going to be the token black man on stage? A quite enormous star.
You mean fat?
No.
Oh.
It wasn't Barry White.
British?
Not saying.
Oh, what a git. Oh, it wasn't 2 Chainz, was it? Oh, no, probably.
French Montana. He was there. He said, don't you know I've got 48 million followers on Instagram?
Token black. I don't know.
So he wouldn't appear in the UK because I suppose Bob... Did Bob have anything to do with
Bob,
it?
Bob was very involved in...
Okay, I'm going to guess.
The second one as well. 2-pointer here. So actually it's out of 21. Who opened the London... And who opened in Philadelphia?
Oh.
Guessing again. I know the London one.
I think I might know this.
Okay. It's good quizzes, I tell you.
It is, yeah. It's not a bad quiz so far.
Good quiz.
What do you think, Lonely?
I like it.
Good. Excellent. That's good. That's all we want. We just want you to be happy.
You're happy.
Thank you very much.
You're happy. We're happy.
I'm poorly and I'm happy.
So that's good. Right. Number six. Whose microphone failed at the end of the Wembley gig?
Ah, yes.
Incredibly famous man. Might possibly have seen him at Bruce Springsteen the other day, Lana.
Don't stop giving out clues.
I missed it.
Oh, good.
Oh, missed the clues. Okay.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Are you going to take that?
Of course
she is. Not even, doesn't even need to get a half point for that one.
Yeah.
It's a multiple choice, number seven. Broadcast to 150 countries to how many people? Was it A, 1.9 billion, B, 190 million, or C, 19 million? 1.9 billion, 190 million, 19 million. Question number eight. Who was Bob Geldof's unappreciated sidekick? And it's not Paulie Yates.
Hang on, I'm on number nine.
That's eight.
I'm on eight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, well, you're definitely struggling. So that means you're going to get all your answers wrong.
I see. hang on.
Which one did you do for number six? Number six was whose microphone failed at the end of the Wembley show.
I thought that was number seven.
That is
six. I've got that as six.
That's six. Definitely
six. Sorry, I've got number five.
You done, put two.
Number five, yeah, I've done the five and
two. Two people, number five.
Right.
Yeah, so. who was Bob Geldof's unappreciated sidekick?
Okay.
Not Paulie Yates.
Yeah. She was very popular, wasn't she?
She was.
With all the other people.
Yeah, she's very attractive back in the day, very flirty.
She was not. She was just nice, wasn't
just,
she?
Just, yeah, you thought she'd be, you imagined she'd
tragic.
Be lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number nine. Who played Wembley, then jumped on Concorde to play in Philadelphia? And number 10 is my favourite question of the whole lot. And I didn't realise until I watched the documentary.
Okay.
Number 10.
I wish I'd watched the documentary that you've watched. It would have helped
me. Well, clearly.
Mm.
Number 10. Who flew the said celebrity in his helicopter from Wembley to Heathrow?
Sorry.
Blimey.
Blimey.
He's got consumption.
Sounds like the end of like watching The King in Braveheart.
I missed that last question.
Too late now.
Too late now. But the answer is, but you'll get half a point anyway.
Okay.
Who flew said celebrity, who played at both venues, in his helicopter from Wembley to Heathrow so he could get on the plane?
That wasn't in, oh, stop it. That wasn't in the documentary, by the way.
Oh.
No, that, I found that. I found that out. Okay. I was like, ooh, good question. Question number 11. Who joined Tina Turner on stage for two songs? Question number 12. Who gave up a song so they could show the Cars video of Drive?
Oh,
in the stadium.
I'm going to guess.
And apparently,
I'm guessing.
They basically met him before, or we're giving it to him, and apparently said, they said, you can't do it. We need your songs. And they said, no. He said, I'm not allowing you to play this. He said, I'm not going to perform.
Really?
Yeah. You think, good
get
on you.
Off.
Good on you.
There's a fly in here, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, and it keeps just, it's very dozy, so it just sits on the hand.
Very prevalent to your brother, this one, Alona.
Oh, blimey. Okay.
How much was a ticket?
Oh. Is that number 13?
That's 13. How much was a ticket for Live Aid?
I'm going to guess.
Damn good value. But
yeah, I can imagine.
But people wouldn't have thought so back at the time.
How did they do the ticket sales in that?
In those days, you had to queue up.
Box office.
You queued up at the box office.
All done then.
Football matches, concerts, everything. You wanted a ticket for a big event, you had to go up.
All right.
I used to do it all the time, didn't you? With football tickets.
Oh, yeah. I went down on the Sunday with Odeon to queue up to get a ticket for Whitesnake.
Oh, wow.
On the day that Iron Maiden announced their tour and just happened to be there.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'll have two tickets. And we were like two rows from the front because I was just lucky that they went on sale that morning.
Question number 14. Which enormous Hollywood star hosted the US TV concert in Philadelphia? Huge TV movie legend.
Movie legend. What number is this? 14?
14.
Movie legend.
I don't know.
You'll go, oh, yes. Question number 15. Whose band wanted to sack their lead singer after he started fucking around at the end of their set, going into the crowd and pulling girls out and hugging them, and not then singing their massive chart hit? Whose band wanted to sack their lead singer after he pompoused around on stage in the middle of their second song and they missed a song?
And what's that? Don't know, but I'm going to guess.
16. Who is the famous London promoter? Who was the very famous promoter who did the London gig?
Oh, I can't remember his second name. It's like it's similar to that bloke who's been locked up.
Locked up forever. It is. It is very similar. Yes, it is. Incredibly similar. Hopefully he wasn't like that. I'm sure he wasn't. Question number 17. What did Bob Geldof famously say on live television? Question number 18. Which band refused to let their set be shown on the video and DVD videos afterwards because they who did they blame for not releasing it? One very famous band wouldn't let their performance go on any of the on the reruns, and they blamed someone for how bad their performance was.
Hmm.
I'm going to do very poorly here. I'm guessing so many.
I'm guessing too.
I thought you'd get nearly all of these. Mm. Two to go.
Right.
Who did Bob Dylan say should actually get all of the money at the end of his show? Which is good because he was meant to go to obviously the people in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
So who did Bob Dylan say should actually get the money instead of go to Africa?
Is that general knowledge?
Yeah, it is general knowledge, yeah. And actually, because, yeah, you saw him, you're like, whoa, what have you just said? We watched it after. Yeah, we stayed up and watched it after the party I went to with said husband. Last question. Sorry. Which two very famous comedians dressed up as policemen introduced show-stopping Queen?
Two comedians. Were they a double act?
They were a double act. Right.
They
introduced Queen before they stole the show. In those days, I was obviously very trendy, and I used to read the NME. And I remember one of the NME journalists saying that obviously Live Aid was very, very good for Africans. It was a very, very bad day for music, with Queen suddenly getting back on the perch of the biggest band in the world. That's 20 questions.
That's good. I like that. I don't think I've got many right, but I enjoyed it. It makes me want to go and watch the documentary now.
Right, I'm going to be terrible at this.
That makes a lovely change. Mm. Right, start at the beginning.
Okay,
this
then.
Is a good place to start, really.
Yeah.
Who is the only singer to promote his new single in his one song?
I've put Adam Ant, I don't know.
Boy George?
You are correct,
no.
1 point. Adam Ant played Viva La Rock, which was his new single, instead of playing his three or four number ones. And they were, because they were running behind for time, apparently, and they basically said, you can fuck off, get off. And I don't think you mess with the person who was question number 14 or whatever. Which Radio 1 DJ did the opening lines to Live Aid?
It's Richard Skinner.
Richard Skinner.
I did have that as
very
well.
Good. And it was not Jimmy. Who was George Michael allegedly referring to when he said, just for one day, could you not be a complete prick?
I don't know.
Was that Paul Weller?
It was Paul Weller.
Oh, Paul Weller.
Yeah.
I didn't know they didn't get on.
Yeah, I mean, when you look back, I mean, Paul Weller was so rude about so many people. He was so rude. He just slagged everyone off in the papers. Who refused to play after telling Bob Geldof, I'm not going to be the token black man on stage?
Stevie Wonder.
I put Stevie Wonder.
Well, you're both correct.
Oh.
He did. He would play. Who opened the London and also the Philadelphia shows?
The London one was opened by Status Quo.
Correct.
Was Phil Collins something to do was with
it? Wasn't Simple Minds, was it?
They did play the thing. They're one they of the did, Brian Adams.
Oh, it was Brian Adams.
Brian Adams was
Brian
the first.
Adams.
He was the
oh,
first.
I got status
one. Oh, just getting really
he's
big.
One of my later answers. No, so Nettie's down twice.
You quite clearly won't be.
I get half a point for drive for Status Quo.
I got one Status Quo as well. So
oh,
we
you
have
can have
one.
One each.
Did you?
Right,
yes.
Both got one. So both got one. Whose microphone famously failed at the end of the Wembley Stadium
well, you
gig?
You might as well say it because he told you the
Paul McCartney.
He didn't tell me.
I saw him do it.
Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney, have half a point. Broadcast to 150 countries. How many people?
190 million. 1.9 billion. Was it?
1.9 billion. Which is extraordinary when you think about 1985 and how satellites weren't totally de rigueur back in the day. Who was Bob Geldof's unappreciated sidekick?
Midger.
Correct. Who played Wembley, then jumped on a Concorde and played in Philadelphia?
Phil Collins.
Best one now. Who flew Phil Collins in his helicopter from Wembley to Heathrow so he could catch the plane?
Was it Richard Branson?
I don't know.
Noel Edmonds.
Oh, did it?
No, it was not.
Honestly, yeah, Noel Edmonds flew
they
him.
They look similar, don't they?
Yeah,
so
yeah, and
I'll
he had,
half,
and he had
can I have half a point for that?
No.
Secretly, I don't care.
No. Because
you didn't get Noel or Colin. Or
yes, because Noel Evans is not really like Richard Branson.
He looks like him. Right.
A little bit. Who joined Tina Turner on stage for two songs?
Bugger, I put Bryan Adams and he's already come up as an answer.
I don't know.
Mick Jagger.
Oh, did he?
Of course he did.
Mick Jagger. Question 12. Who gave up a song to show the Cars video of Drive?
David Bowie.
I put David Bowie.
You're both right. It was David Bowie. And at the time, they were like, no, you need to... He was fantastic, David Bowie.
Yeah, he
was. His set was so good. How much was the ticket?
I put 15 quid.
I put 45.
It was 25 quid.
Was it?
25?
Right
25 quid. So if you put the two together, you're probably pretty close.
Yeah.
So half point each. Which Hollywood legend hosted the US TV concert?
I haven't got a clue. Burt Reynolds.
Don't know.
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't realise he did the whole thing. Because I watched The Simple Minds on back and he said, oh, I've been introduced by Jack Nicholson. You've done pretty well. Didn't realise he did the whole thing. Whose band wanted to sack their lead singer after he was fucking around and ended up missing their last song?
I put The Who, but I don't know.
That's what I put.
It was Bono.
Was it?
Bono.
How could they possibly sack him, could they?
They were livid with him, apparently.
Really?
Because they wanted to play Pride in the Name of Love, which was their huge hit.
That would have been amazing.
Which at the time was their one enormous, enormous hit.
Yeah.
And he procrastinated and fucked around for so long, going down the front, getting the girl out, and apparently they just stand there playing away and they like all the riffs at the last bit.
Oh.
And they ran out of time. And apparently they were so angry with him, they wanted to fuck him off.
Oh.
Can't really sack Bono, I suppose.
Not really.
Who was the famous promoter who did the London leg of the show?
Harvey
Goldsmith.
Goldsmith, isn't it?
Goldsmith.
Oh. I said Goldsmith.
Yeah, I said Goldstein.
Goldstein. What did Bob Geldof famously say live on television?
Give us your fucking money.
Correct. Give us your fucking money. Which band refused to let their set be shown on any video or DVD releases?
I put Dire Straits,
but Duran Duran?
It was Led Zeppelin.
Oh, was it?
And who did they blame?
I don't know.
They blamed Phil Collins because he was the drummer.
Oh.
Because obviously he died. John Bonham died. And
they didn't think it was good enough.
They thought it was rubbish. Oh. And he thought they was rubbish and they thought he was rubbish and they refused to let it go out. Who did Bob Dylan say should actually get all the money instead of it going to Africa?
Himself.
He said it should actually go to the US farmers.
Did it?
Live on stage. He said the money shouldn't be going, it should be going to the US farmers.
Hmm. So a concert organised by an Irish man, should have all the money going to the US farmers.
Well done, Bob. And last question, which two comedians dressed up as policemen introduced stage?
I know this. Oh. Griff Rhys-Jones and Mel Smith.
Oh, correct.
Was it?
Correct.
I remember that.
I thought Rick and
Aid. Oh, right. Yeah, well, it could have been them. Oh. Yeah, they could have been. Yeah, they would have been famous at the time. No, it's Smith and Jones. So that's 20 questions.
So I probably get 2 points for that, as I got them both.
No, you don't. You're going to beat me anyway. I've got 10 and a half.
Oh, hang on.
Look, she's looking so pleased with herself over there.
13 and a half.
Oh, really?
Look at you.
I'm devastated.
Devastated. Sure. I thought you'd do brilliantly.
I thought you'd do well on that.
I thought you'd do a bit. Jackie, when Jackie did it earlier, I had a trial run with Mrs. Simmons earlier. She said Spag will get loads of those. There's some of the, yeah, quite, you kind of either know or you don't.
Pretty
really.
Good, though. I didn't like know that. A lot of them.
Good quiz.
I'd completely and utterly forgotten that, who was it who you said that Adam Ant had even played at it?
Yeah, he was
honest.
On very early at Wembley. Yeah.
He was, and of course, sort of, because his British name was 80s pop stars on
because
early,
his name
they?
Was AA, so he was almost like top billing.
Right.
Because they just named everyone. And the other thing on this programme was about how Pete Townsend just said, basically, Bob Geldof just totally blackmailed them into doing
really?
It.
Really?
Really? Yeah, oh, I'm going to watch that.
Making The Who
afternoon.
Do it. And he said, and Bob Geldof said something like, he was trying to put Lenin and Trotsky back in a room together and try and actually get them to, you know, to do it. And they were very much, they were almost refusing to go on before, they took ages because they looked like they wanted to fight each other before they actually went on. So, yeah, so that was quite...
Excellent.
That was quite good.
Right, so that was very good, Stuart.
Thank you.
Very
You're
good.
Welcome.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap this up now because we've now, from wondering how on earth we're going to fit out the time, we've now done an hour and 10 minutes and I'm not sure how we're going to get it down the bloody phone line. So,
oh, God.
There we go. I'm sure he'll edit a short bit of that out, but...
middle section, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Middle section could do
You'll lose
a bit
of middle section.
So, yeah, so so we are back in a couple of weeks' time.
We certainly are.
And that will be the last one until we have our summer break.
Summer break.
Because you two obviously need another holiday and we won't be doing anything for a bit.
Clearly.
Yeah. So... so we'll see you then.
We certainly will.
Bye.
Have a nice fortnight.
Bye.
Homer Potts Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.